When you live in a world of curated feeds, it can sometimes feel impossible to know what's real. Does that celebrity actually use this product? Does that all-star athlete really prefer that brand? Are these reviews from honest consumers? Are these comments even from real users? When attention is a commodity, almost everything can be commoditized. Finding those companies and people who are making genuinely great products while maintaining the values that you support is like finding a needle in an ever-expanding haystack. And when you are the company trying to stand out in that haystack, how do you gain the trust of customers to show that you are the real deal?
We connect brands to their fans, but also we connect fans to each other. And the way that we do that, it's not based on any basic metrics. It's not based on how many followers somebody has. It's not about how much they bought from you as a brand. I think that is how we have attracted so many fantastic brands, is that we bring back this layer of true fans that has possibly been lost in the world of influencers and views.
That's Amber Atherton, the founder and CEO of Zyper, a company dedicated to connecting the real users of real products to create a real community. It's a process that leverages the oldest marketing tactic in the book, honest word of mouth, and is based entirely on two key values that can define an organization inside and out: transparency and trust. There are always exciting things happening in the world of small business. The news that grabs the headlines, though, are always the highlights: the overnight successes, the billion-dollar IPOs, the massive exits. But just like your Instagram feed, that's never the whole story. Let's look deeper than the headlines and the press photos. Underneath all of that is the real work building something valuable and lasting. Don't get me wrong, I love crazy success stories and can be drawn into those big flashy tales just as much as the next person. But we all know that what's more important than the destination is how you get there. It's the struggles you have to overcome and the insights you learn along the way that make you who you are. So those are the stories we're telling. It's raw, it's honest, and maybe it's exactly what you need to hear. I'm Hillary Georgie, and this is The Journey. Growing up, Amber was a curious kid. She was always trying to find the next big thing to learn, the next project to start, the next dream to dream. And she had an unquestionable will and drive that made it clear from day one she was going to be her own boss.
Honestly, from a very early age, I wanted to be a businesswoman. I had these very clear visions of me being the CEO, and even though I'm not really sure what that was, but I remember being age 9 and kind of creating these business cards that sort of said, Amber Atherton, CEO, Beverly Hills, New York, like zero geographical relevance. But I was very excited about this concept of being your own boss, even though I wasn't really sure what it entailed.
Her parents nurtured that entrepreneurial spirit, and their work took Amber all over the world, spending most of her younger years in the fast-paced environment of Hong Kong.
It was an amazing place to grow up, and we moved around a bit to some other countries with my parents' work, and all of that was like an amazing cultural education of just never really living in the same house for more than a few years, moving schools a lot. There was a lot of like fast adaptation that I think is actually sort of unwittingly served me quite well being an entrepreneur.
By age 10, Amber's dad had taught her a few lessons in coding, knowledge that she used to start and manage an Amazon affiliate website where she sold books and CDs. It was those types of activities, the lemonade stands of the online world, that she chased her whole childhood.
When I was 16, I started a blog. I was at school in the UK and I was living in Hong Kong, so like an overseas border. And I started buying jewelry in Hong Kong. And I'd buy all this sort of fashion jewelry and I take photos of it on my friends. And this was in like 2015, 16. And I'd write about it on the blog and then people would email me to buy the jewelry. Quickly realized that jewelry has a pretty amazing margin and this was quite cool. And next thing I know, I had other jewelry designers emailing me asking if they could be featured on this blog, and which, by the way, was called My Flash Trash. So I think that probably gives away that I was 16 when I started that. But I didn't know what it was really going to become.
What began as a side project for fun and a little extra cash grew into a niche community with Amber right at the center.
From starting it in my dorm at school, eventually it was Europe's biggest jewelry marketplace at one point. You know, we had almost 300 designers on there. We highlighted all of them on our blog. We had celebrities from like Kate Middleton to Kim Kardashian buying and wearing the jewelry from these designers. So it became a kind of cool, culty thing from London. It was all through very early forms of influencer marketing and content marketing. And it went through a few evolutions and we had a few acquisition offers. And in the end, we ended up deciding to merge with a Chinese manufacturing group. So they sort of took over the business.
Amber felt her interest in My Flash Trash slipping away and saw that merger as a greatly timed opportunity to experiment with her true passion, people.
It almost had been my business school. I dropped out of university after like 2 months. So building that business, I learned so much. I think I kind of got to the point where I knew it wasn't going to be as big as I wanted it to be. I think we'd gone down a route with the business that made it more like a jewelry manufacturing company. And actually what I was always very passionate about was the social element to commerce. I was much more interested in social psychology and content marketing and community building than I ever really was in retail or design.
Those interests and her experiences at My Flash Trash spun into a new idea, one that focused on acquiring customers through community.
One of the things that I'd noticed in the jewelry business was we had really cool customers. They weren't celebrities, they weren't influencers, but these customers had, you know, maybe they ran an art gallery or maybe they were a pastry chef and they had really cool social media profiles and they were buying our jewelry and they were posting about it. And I was like, we should do a better job of identifying who these people are. So I started coming up with a very rudimentary algorithm that would identify our customers who were like the top fans of the brand. I essentially started reaching out to them to become part of our community. And within that community, we were featuring different fans of the brand every month. It was called the Charm Gang. And it became a real like friendship group around the brand. And at that point, someone from Nike reached out to me and said that they'd come across the hashtag Charm Gang community on Instagram. And, you know, what was it? What were we doing? Would I be willing to share some learnings? And it was through that process that I realized, like, wow, every business has this problem where they know who their customers are. They know kind of what influencers they want to work with. But most companies don't know who the everyday consumers who are fans of the brand, who are very powerful in keeping your brand relevant. So that's when I realized this is a really big problem that needs to be solved. And I think I'm the best person to really have a crack at creating a solution.
After the break, Amber shares why creating a community of fans is so valuable, how she strives to reflect those same values internally at Cyper, and how those two pillars of trust and transparency guide it all.
As part of Salesforce's continued commitment to small businesses, they've recently announced Salesforce Care for Small Business, a combination of free products to help during the COVID-19 crisis. New customers will get 3 months free access to out-of-the-box CRM Salesforce Essentials and Analytics Solution Tableau, as well as 6 months free access to collaboration tool Quip. Now, more than ever, small businesses need the right tools to connect with their customers. Salesforce is here to help. To learn more, visit salesforce.com/thejourney.
Inspiration had struck and Amber was ready to get started on her new idea. She applied for the Startup Accelerator Y Combinator in California and was accepted. It wasn't her first big move, but it was the first big jump into her new company.
I moved to Palo Alto, lived in the garage for 4 months, and we built, you know, the core infrastructure that is still what Zyper runs on today.
The accelerator program allowed her to build a foundation for the technology behind Zyper and a strong proof of concept. But the company was still hurting for one key ingredient, culture.
I definitely made some mistakes early on with not being thoughtful enough around how you hire and train people. When you're in growth mode as a startup, when you're going through those early phases of like taking something from an idea to product market fit and to just building something that people want, you don't really have a lot of time to think about culture. And I think that after we've got to the point of having raised and closed Series A and really needed to focus on building a team and what we cared about, that's when I did a really culture exercise. And I think the advice that I would give there is bring your earliest team members, the one or two people that you have had in the room since day one, and just sit around to have a coffee and just talk about what are the traits that you admire within each other. And we did that exercise and some really interesting things came out. That formed what we then made into as a kind of tongue-in-cheek joke, like the tricep flex, which is a kind of Victorian exercise poster that we have all over the office and stands for trust, respect, initiative, curiosity, execution, and pace. And these were all the values that we admired in each other and that we needed as a company. And now, whenever anyone is interviewing to join the team, we sort of score people based on the tricep flex.
The tricep flex is more than just a combination of corporate buzzwords. They were values Amber wanted herself and her team members to embody.
We didn't want to just have this poster up on the wall that said another acronym, but every Friday now when we do demos, we have a shout out form so people can shout people out in the team for displaying any one of those tricep values. So it's a great moment to say, oh, you know, Lulu was really curious this week, or Richard really executed well.
But Amber recognizes that no one wants to work with a staff of clones. You want people that live up to your company values, but in their own unique ways.
You can't build an empire by yourself with just your own hands. You need to bring in intimidatingly brilliant people who have different skill sets and can complement your style of working. There are definitely similarities in the team that we all have a lot of these tricep attributes. I think that diversity is key in a business.
Shared values and a diverse team have been critical in building Zyper's culture, but Amber's guiding principles for leadership are based on two key components.
So this is actually in Mark Benioff's book. In his Trailblazer book, he said a sentence, or said a quote that really resonated with me, that trust and transparency are two sides of the same coin. And I think that's a really powerful quote to lead with and to share with the rest of your team, that trust is so critical to building a great company. And it's very difficult to know how you actually gain trust. And that's why I thought that such a great point that it is transparency. It is the other side of the coin. And if you can transparently communicate and keep people abreast of, you know, what's happening, then you do build trust.
And that trust and transparency goes beyond just Zyper's internal culture. It's the leading philosophy for Amber's business model.
83% of people trust a friend's referral more than any other form of advertising. So being able to tap into your true fans and their network is invaluable for building really sustainable customer acquisition. We're at a very exciting time in terms of what's happening in the community space, in that Facebook had a monopoly on community, I think, for a long time, but really, that is being decentralized now. There are so many new platforms popping up where people feel like a greater sense of trust and privacy. And it's fascinating to see that alongside influence being democratized. You know, any single normal customer can collaborate with brands, can create great content with free editing apps. And I'm so excited about the role that Zyper can play in building that technology layer between brands and their fans.
Amber believes that we're at the beginning of a fundamental shift in advertising and social networks. We're beginning to see that brands can grow beyond their products and create communities where like-minded people can connect.
And Zyper's point of view in this is that brands have this fantastic opportunity to be the vehicle for that new social network. They are a shared passion and interest for many customers. And it's not just Tom's Shoes being a great product that people like, but it's the values that Tom's Shoes stands for. And I think that's what's exciting in our approach, is that It's not just the brand and working with the brand, but it's all of the things that the brand encompasses. You know, what are the brand's values, and the fact that their customers actually share those values, and being able to create a space where they can come together with the brand and, you know, share ideas and meet other fans is really exciting.
The road to Zyper has been a windy one, but Amber finally feels like she's found the project she is truly passionate about. And for other entrepreneurs still working hard to find their footing, Amber has some advice.
Don't let that fire go out, because you need to nurture it and grow it, because, you know, you are capable of greatness. And that's what I would want to encourage to any person who's listening to this, is don't underestimate what you are truly capable of creating. I think there is joy in the struggle of building and scaling and making a company that has an impact on culture and a place in history. My idea of success is the constant growing and, you know, continuously evolving and improving.
Success isn't stationary, and neither is customer acquisition. As a business, you are constantly fighting to win over and keep your customers, to be the signal in endless noise. Creating a community where your fans can thrive and where you can learn more about your customers' needs is how you stay relevant. But that community, like any community, will only last if it's built on trust. Or, as author Stephen Covey puts it, trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships. So whether it's your base of customers who want to know that your product does what you claim, or whether you're like Amber building a culture where the mission is the guiding light, you have to live in truth, because actions speak louder than words. Because remember that trust is earned and can disappear in an instant. So nurture it into that essential glue and see how far it can take you.
Today's uncertain business climate makes it critical to stay in touch with your customers and employees. That's why Salesforce recently announced Salesforce Care for Small Business, a combination of free products to help businesses during the COVID-19 crisis. New customers will get 3 months free access to out-of-the-box CRM Salesforce Essentials and Analytics Solution Tableau, as well as 6 months free access to collaboration tool Quip. Salesforce is here to help you stay connected. To learn more, visit salesforce.com/thejourney.